Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, I'm excited about this morning's message, and I hope that the Lord will speak to us all. How many believe that we live in some trying times right now? There's people in our society right now that are getting viciously attacked. Some are being mauled and murdered and killed. And then you see the political divide. You could start that recording, brother. Okay, good. You see the political divide in our land. And then you see a culture that we've never seen before that is bringing abominations to a young generation, and none of us ever seen anything like this before. Come on, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the Leave It to Beaver days. Father knows best. Oh, for some of you, that went just way over. I grew up when things were somewhat wholesome, and there was a lot of there was a lot of patriotism. There were patriots in this land that really loved the land that God has given us. And we're seeing it being torn apart. But this message is not about doom and gloom. It's about what God is doing in the midst of darkness. Did you know that God is a shining light in the midst of darkness? And so, I'm going to pray and we're going to get into God's Word. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this day. We magnify you. We glorify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me get this ready for us. Amen. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, "We Have Been Reconciled by God." We have been reconciled by God. And in the midst of an outpouring that God is doing right now, as I shared earlier, it started with Ashbury. Now there's 17 universities across the nation, and then a lot of little fires are being lit around the world. I believe this is the last outpouring, hallelujah, before Jesus comes and takes the church. Can I get amen? And why do I say that? Because the Bible is clear that the church, us, the saints of God, we are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Amen? So God is purifying the church so that he can come and take us home. Amen? Amen? Why? Because even in the political world, in the church world, it's still divided in half. Oh, that's right. It's very divided. There's some churches that are woke churches. They have embraced everything that the world has embraced. Where's the love, brother? Yeah, the love is telling them to repent and come to Christ. Because there's no other way without repentance. Jesus said that his desire is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. Those are the words of Christ. And so these religious leaders need to go back to the Word. Can I get amen? Because it's the Word that's already forever settled in heaven. Every jot and tittle is in heaven, settled already. And so when you come to the preacher like me or anyone else, is it, hey, you know what, where's the love? I go, it's in the Word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on to say in that chapter, I didn't come to condemn the world, because the world is already condemned. He says, I came to save those which were lost. Hallelujah. And many of us were on the lost road. Hallelujah. That was going to end up in doom until he came and rescued us. How many are so very thankful that God came to rescue you? Oh, come on. There are some people we know in our life, I know in my life, that died in their sin. How do I know that? Because it happened in my BC years. The guys I hung out with, ain't none of us went to a Bible study. Ain't none of us walk into a church. You know, our language is bleepity, bleepity, bleep. You know, and drugging it up and drinking it up. I remember, and I'll get into the word. I got to share this, though. You know where 24th Street Pier is? Okay. I was hanging out with my homies. And another rival gang from Otay showed up and ransacked us. And we were trying to get out of there. And one of the brothers that was sitting in the back of my seat, those guys rushed in and they murdered him into my back seat. And he wasn't calling for Jesus. He was calling for his mama. He's not here today. I knew, or I know now, rather, where his spiritual condition was. At that time, we were in blindness, spiritual darkness. But I have good news this morning, because God is doing something radical, and he's reconciling, hallelujah, people back to himself. So when we talk about a generation, we're talking about at least almost 100 years. So in the past 100 years, God is reconciling people back to him. Back to him. And we got to go to the Old Testament to see how God dealt with this. There's a pattern with God. I hope you know that. And what do I mean by there's a pattern with God? The outpouring that's taken place. I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, I need to know more about this before I speak it. And God showed me that where two or three witnesses, it establishes a truth. So when you look in the Word of God, in Proverbs, it's a couple other passages that you need, even in the court of law, you need two or three witnesses to establish a truth. That's what the court system uses. They need witnesses. If you don't have no witnesses on your side, well, we hope the best for your outcome. But you need witnesses in a court of law, but you also need witnesses to see what's happening. How many have seen that movie yet? Or not? Or maybe haven't had time just yet? The Jesus Revolution. Hallelujah. Me and my brother were sharing yesterday. It was an awesome depiction of God pouring out his spirit in 1967 through 71. It was the Jesus Revolution movement. So what was God showing me? Because we have to see, okay, God, what is this outpouring that we're seeing right now? Because it's spreading everywhere. So there has to be two witnesses. There has to be two witnesses. What are the witnesses? Okay, so the last outpouring was the Jesus movie that you will probably see soon. So God poured out his spirit in 1967, and the hippies, those who were on drugs, all those, they got saved. And out of that was birthed 1,000 churches, and they were through Chuck Smith's church, the Calvary Chapels. The movie's about Greg Laurie. You know who Greg Laurie is, right? He's a famous evangelist now. That came from that movement. But there was two things that were going on in the same time. What were they? The Vietnam War. There was war. And there was 34 other skirmishes around the world. But the most dynamic thing that people failed to see, in 67, when God poured out and the movement was going on, in 1967, Israel regained Jerusalem as their capital. So it came in threes. Jerusalem was recaptured. After all these thousands of years, they already had their land, Israel, back, but they didn't have the capital. And they got it back in 67 during the outpouring. Okay, so the last outpouring prior to that was in the early 1900s. How many can recall the Azusa Street revival? The charismatic Pentecostal church was birthed, and it was birthed around the world. And there was an outpouring. As a matter of fact, Sister Yolanda, she received the gift of tongues. What was it? How many years ago? We went to celebrate 100 years of Azusa Street in Los Angeles. And she got hands laid on her. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, she was a different sister. We were driving home. She was la da 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 da. And I go, oh my gosh. One thing I never did, I never pushed it on her. I never said, yeah, you know what? No, she wasn't a lesser Christian. She got the gift that everyone should crave for. Okay, crave for and pray for as well. Okay, so that outpouring at the Azusa Street over 100 years ago, almost, okay, was another witness. Because the Spirit of God outpoured, it was during World War I. I need you to catch this. World War I, and then the Declaration of Balfour was signed. What did that mean? It had something to do with Israel. Because when the Balfour Declaration was signed, it allowed now all the Israelites, all the Jewish people to come back to the land. So you had three again. You had Israel coming back to the land. You had World War I, and then you had an outpouring. And then in 67, the Jesus movement. And now we're seeing another outpouring. Hold on to your hats. Hold on. Because there is a war brewing up. And it's going to be with China and Russia and North Korea and Venezuela, even Mexico, because Mexico is now all cartel. They don't have a government. And Cuba. They've all become our country's enemies. And why are they conjuring up together? Because we're in the way of the one world government. So it's in the scriptures. Read Revelation. Now, here's so unique about this outpouring and why I'm talking about this. And then we're going to get to our study. But look at this. In the book of Revelation, Jesus talks about seven churches. Okay? And every church was a different dispensation. The last church, the seventh church, was the church of Laodicea. And this is our generation now. And what did he call that church? It was lukewarm. And he goes, you were wealthy. In other words, you were fat cats. You didn't need anything. But yet you were lukewarm. And so here's what God's doing right now. He's refining the church. He's preparing us to be on fire for him. He's getting a lot of us out of our lukewarmness back into the fire. Can I get amen? Because as the outpouring is taking place, there's a war coming. And something dramatic is going to take place in Israel. Keep your eyes on Israel. Hallelujah. So we live in some exciting times for the church. But for the unbeliever, the one that's lukewarm, man, I'm telling you, I'm praying for you. Because Jesus said, go back to Revelation, read the last church, the Laodicea church. He said, if you either are cold or hot for me, I'd rather be you cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. I don't want to be spit out of the mouth of God. I hope you know. Amen. Amen. I'll preach if there's just one person here. I'll just keep on going. Can I get amen? Amen. I can't stop. Can I get amen? And you can't stop serving God, praising him, worshiping him, preaching to others. Hallelujah. Let them know that Jesus is about to return. Praise God. So that was an introduction. If you have your Bibles, turn to Micah chapter 7. And we're going to see in this outline, in this message this morning, how God dealt with backslidden Israel. Because God wanted to take them all out. They turned to idolatry. their priests became very, very sinful. And there was so many things taking place. But there is a redeeming quality about God. And you know what it is? He loves you and I so much that he sent his son to die for us. Can I get an amen? So no matter how low we have gotten, and Arda, you share some things with me. You guys know my testimony. We're at the bottom of the totem pole as far as sinfulness is. And yet he still came to rescue us. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Wow. That's right. So let's go there. Let's read the word. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Praise God. Look at verse 9. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see, and shame will cover her, who said to me, where is the Lord your God? We're coming to a place where our friends and family, our acquaintances are going to say, where is your God? Where is your God? My eyes will see her. Now she will be trampled down like mud in the streets. Now look at this, verse 11. In the day when your walls are to be built, in that day the decree shall go far and wide. In that day they shall come to you from Assyria and fortified cities, from the fortress to the river, from the sea to sea, and mountain to mountain. Yet the land shall be desolate because of those who dwell in it and for the fruit of their deeds. So this was a prophetic word to Israel that if they did not repent, that God was going to come and desolate the place. Did you know that God always brings humble warnings to us? Yes. He comes humbly. It's not like a big megaphone from heaven shouting in your ears. Can't you see? Get it right. No, he's gracious to us, isn't he? He's long-suffering. Hallelujah. Come on, you remember when you was stooped in your sin. Hallelujah. He could have just said like this. Zzz, I'm done with you. No. It's not like that, is it? Look at this, verse 14. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead. And in the days of old, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. The nation shall see and be ashamed of all their might. Look at this. And they shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. Look at verse 17. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of you. Come on. Hallelujah. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you're walking in the midst of unbelievers, hallelujah, they should sense the presence of God and start fearing who God is. Can I get an amen? You know why? Because some of them will remember you 30 years ago. That ain't that same person anymore. How many can honestly say God is doing something mighty in my life? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God is doing something mighty in your life. And then tell your neighbor, he's not through with you. Oh, that's right. He's not through with you. Can I get an amen? He's not through with us. Oh, come on. Come on. We're not defeated saints. Can I get an amen? I read the book. We won. I read the book. Have you read the book? We win at the end here. Jesus, help us. Look at, they shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear you because of you. Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? We are the remnant church. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. We're the remnant people of God. And God is going to have his last say and wonder through us. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, that's right. Know that God is for us, not against us. Know that God, hallelujah, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I don't care what you're going through right now, circumstances of life, hallelujah, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Can I get an amen? No dilemma, no suffering, no setback is too hard for God. Hallelujah. If he split the Red Sea, hallelujah, he'll split the Red Sea for your life. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. That's right. And he will put a hedge. He'll put a hedge around your life and encamp angels around your life. Can I get amen? He will bless your coming and your going. Praise God. And so look at this. Pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. We are the heritage. We are the heritage of God. Can I get amen? Because we've been grafted in by faith. Hallelujah. And now we have the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God. God is a mighty God. He's a wonderful God. Look at this. And he does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Hallelujah. Listen, none of us deserve this great salvation, but it was by his mercy. Mercy. Because there was nothing good in us. Can I get amen? Hey, nothing good in us. There's still nothing good in us other than the Holy Ghost that lives inside now. And we discovered when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, now there's a war in my members. There's a battle raging on the inside. Why? Because the spirit wants to have his way and the flesh wants to have his. And a lot of times this flesh don't want to do nothing good for God. So that's why Paul says, I deny myself. There's some things we must do sometimes. We must lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Look at this. In verse 19, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. Man, that's what he did at the cross. When we surrendered our life, he took away our sins and he tossed them as far as the east and the west is concerned. And guess what? He remembers them no more. But we can point to one another. I remember. Don't you remember? Huh, we do, huh? We still remember what we've done. But guess what? In the mind of God, he's already forgotten about them. Can I get amen? What a mighty God we serve. That song, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, and heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Praise God. And look at this. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Saints, we never wander so far from God that we cannot be brought back and be forgiven by him. I hope you know that. Can I get amen? There's no sin that God cannot forgive, except but one. You know, we heard about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. We get that. But there's something deeper than that. What is the one sin that he cannot forgive? The rejection of his son. That's it. That's the only thing. Everything else he forgives. But if you haven't received him as Lord and Savior, you will stand in the day of the white throne judgment and give an account for your life. Can I get amen? Amen. This is why the church needs to get on fire right now. Hallelujah. And tell others about Christ. Because he's about to return. Amen. The prophet Micah saw God's commitment to the restoration of his people. He saw it. Micah prophesied this. And it's a foreshadow for us to give us hope. Can I get amen? Because God was going to do away with these people. But they had to rise up in faith. Just like us, we need to rise up in faith. Can I get an amen? And he continued to send the message of hope and restoration and forgiveness for them. This is how good God is. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. No person is a hopeless case. I hope you know that. Some of you know people that, man, I don't know about that one. Some of us go as far as this. God, if you're real, you will do something with that one. Hey, listen. Never underestimate God. Can I get an amen? Never underestimate God. He'll come back and do something, and then you will feel so ashamed that you thought of it. And now he won't blast you. Your own heart will blast you. So no person is hopeless. Can I get an amen? Listen, the key, if we all repent of our sins, turning to God for redemption, he forgives us and restores us. What he did for me, he gave my mind back to me. Man, he took away the bleepity bleepity bleep. He did it in a moment of a second of time. That was a supernatural thing. Because up until I got saved, it was bleepity bleepity bleep. And all these illicit drugs and all that, gone as soon as I repented and the custodian led me to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that journey's been 34 years. Hallelujah. And guess what? It was in front of Horizon. Horizon came from Calvary Chapel. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? So I got saved during this Jesus movement that's still going. Oh, come on. I remember when I got saved. It's this right here. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Should I say that, Lord? Hallelujah. Jesus, help us, God. Amen. Amen. But when I got saved the following Sunday, I was at Horizon Christian Fellowship on Mount Aliphant in Claremont, Kearney Mesa. I was so excited to be there. And I remember Mike McIntosh says, turn to the book of Philippians. I go, oh my gosh, they have Filipinos in the Bible. I wonder if they have the book of Mexico, because my mom's Mexican. I know I make a light of it, but man, I tell you, I had no wisdom. I had no scripture in me. I was just so happy to be there. This is why it's important to grow in the Word of God. Can I get amen? Amen. You're not going to get everything all at once, but there is a process, a progression. Day by day, not just on Sunday. Can I get an amen? Not just on Wednesday. Be in your word every day. Hallelujah. Start with John. You'll understand who Jesus is and just keep on going and then go back to Genesis. But when you get to Leviticus, you may want to call me. I so bypassed that when we were told to read our Bible every day when I was at Mission Valley. Leviticus. Wow. What does all that mean? It doesn't come on in one day. Can I get amen? Praise God. So, let's look at this for a moment. Number one, addressing God's remnant people. The book of Micah consists of three major divisions, each beginning with the oracle of doom and ending with the oracle of hope. Can I get amen? Praise God. The beginning of each division is marked with the imperative, hear this. Hear this. You see, saints, without any hesitation, Micah launched a fierce indictment against Samaria and Jerusalem to get right. So for us today, it's either get right or get left. Now, this is not a political slogan. When you get right with God, hallelujah, you'll be caught up with him. Or get left behind. There's a movie called Left Behind. People's already gone. and the Antichrist showed up. Look at this. He said it best. Let's go back to the word here in Micah. Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will cover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with fire. All her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the day of a harlot, and they shall return to the pain of a harlot. Wow. So as we can see, God deals harshly with those who don't have ears to hear and eyes to see, that harden their heart against God. We don't know people like that, do we? Pray for them. Listen, you don't have to bash them on the head with the Bible and say, repent, sinner. Sometimes you just need to live your life right before them as a saint of God. Because a lot of them already know the gospel. They've heard it already. But your life, hallelujah, with the anointing of God upon it, will stir up something in them. Can I get an amen? I want to walk into a room humbly yet boldly. Can I get an amen? Just like how we come to the throne room of grace, Bible says come humbly yet boldly for the throne of grace. Why? Because God now speaks to us. We have a relationship with him now. Can I get an amen? See, the contagion of Samaria's obsession for cultic worship to Baal had been caught by Jerusalem. So it infiltrated them, which sacrificed to idols in high places and even brought idols into the temple. Look what it says in Micah right up here. Let's go here. Look. For her wounds are incurable. For it has come to Judah. It has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. God was saying these sins are somewhat incurable. Wow. But I have good news, because God always, out of his righteousness, he will say things of judgment, and then you'll see down the road his heart of mercy. But he has to proclaim this. He has to mention this for their sake. And also for our sake. You see, Micah decried the social evils of the day. He condemned the greedy nobles, the unethical merchants, the murderers, and the peoples that were dysfunctional family and relationships. You don't know any dysfunctional families right now, do you? Nothing's changed in 4,000 years. I hope you know that. You know, we love our children. But some of us have different fathers and mothers. It's the society of the day that we live in. But you know what? There's still redeeming qualities in that. Can I get an amen? One of the good news is this. That child never went to the abortion table. Can I get an amen? That's right. Because that child can be a prophet, a pastor, a bishop. God can use that child. Hallelujah. I don't care if that child doesn't know the parent anymore. God will use that child like no other. Hallelujah. And he will bring marvel to the eyes of the people that surround his life. Praise God. Because there's nothing too hard for God. Can I get an amen? You see, Micah indicated he advocated for the downtrodden and condemned those who plotted to steal from the poor. That's still happening today. Nothing's changed. Micah then accused the false prophets who told people only what they wanted to hear. In contrast, saints of God, Micah's desire to please God drove him to deal only the truth. This is what we need to be, people of truth. Can I get an amen? There's some things we have to share with them. We have to tell them, listen, I understand what you're in, but the Word of God says to repent, and God will restore your life. He will bless your life. He will give you life abundantly, more abundantly than you could ever think and ask and hope for. But we have to be bold. Because guess what? If we don't say anything, their blood is on our hands. I don't want people's blood on my hands. Amen? Praise God. You got to tell people, listen, some people got spared this whole year from death. Can I get amen? God spared them from death. Now come alongside and say, God spared you because he wants to use you. He wants to bless your life, but you got to turn to him now and thank God for the mercy he had on your life. Can I get amen? You got to tell them that. No matter how it cuts deep within you. And then you can do this. God, I said what you told me to say. Now it's on them. Can I get amen? And so Jesus said in our generation that there would be this. Look at this. False Christ, false prophets, and will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Who's the elect? You and I. That's why whatever is prophesied, whatever is spoken over you, many of you visit different venues and all this, it better line up with the Word of God. I take that word, okay, let me line it up to Scripture. Because anyone can say anything. Can I get amen? And deceive. Well, Jesus said it. So the argue is not with me. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. Can I get amen? It's up to you to open up the letter and read it. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. So there's prophet so-and-so, prophetess so-and-so. You better see it lines up with God's word. Bible says, test the spirits. See whether they're from God. And then Peter took it further. Look at this. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring them on themselves with what? Swift destruction. What? Someone that's living in sin, and you don't say nothing to help them. The truth is, here's the love of God. Here's the love of the truth. You tell them truth so that God could restore them. Not condemn them. God does not condemn us. Guess what he does? He restores us. Can I get amen? Amen. Our own hearts condemn us. And look at this. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So if you go anywhere and they don't mention about you need to repent and turn and just, oh, just love. He's a God of love. He'd love. Love, 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 love. Tiptoe through the tulips. Just love, love, love. Where's the love, brother? You ever hear that? Where's the love, brother? And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. When's the last time you read that in church? Because those who are not in the truth will not expose themselves. Look at this. But there's a remnant restored. In every dispensation, there has been a plan of salvation. Can I get an amen? Amen. God's always had a plan to save us from ourselves. Oh, that's right. A plan of salvation for that time. A preacher to declare truth. Deliverance for the godly. And judgment for the wicked. God has redeemed a remnant in every Bible dispensation. Goes back in Genesis. When he split the Red Sea. Did you know he had to preserve those people? So that Abraham would come through the lineage. And through the lineage, King David would come through that lineage. And then our Messiah, Jesus, would come. God does things for purpose. Can I get amen? Micah's prophecy of restoration has a dual reference, saints. It refers not only to Micah's generation, but to a future generation down to us. It's 2023. Restoration has come for us. Look what it says in Micah 2, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. Wow. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a foal in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. Look at verse 13. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. No differently is God doing this for us. He's paving the way. Hallelujah. So that we can see him once and for all, face to face. How many wants to see him face to face? How many of you want to see the God that created you? In the book of 1 John, it says, blessed are those who have believed and yet not seen. And we're here because of the name. And what's the only name? Jesus. Who can only save? Jesus. Who can redeem my life? Jesus. It's only him. It's only him. Saints, the word remnant signifies a group of people who do not merit judgment because they have been faithful to the word of God. Listen. Look around. We're the faithful to God. Look how many there should be in churches receiving God's word, and they just choose not to. But you're here because you love God. Can I get an amen? You're here because God, hallelujah, is the lifter of our head. God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the bishop and lover of our soul. And there's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so the word remnant signifies a group of people, us. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. Praise God. For he will finish the work and cut it short in the righteousness. Behold, the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. He's doing something quickly now. How many believe he's doing something quickly now? Some of you maybe just got saved. You've been walking maybe 6 months. Maybe a year. For me, 34 years. But guess what? There's no clocks in heaven. They don't measure day and night like we do. So one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, but to God in heaven. Can I get amen? Look at this. He wrote this. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. How many are so blessed to know that? Jesus! There's a remnant. You're the remnant. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the remnant. Don't forget to turn to the one on the left and not leave them out. Praise God. Listen, 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 saints. God's judgment always leaves room for mercy. People that will humble themselves and repent. Because God will speak to their spirit. It won't land on deaf ears if he's speaking directly to your spirit. Can I get amen? Today's revival efforts are often thought of in terms of advertising and putting out flyers and doing this. Nuh-uh. When the real fire is taking place, God will be the draw. Can I get amen? When there's real fire, God will be the draw. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, but there's so many gimmicks. I remember I saw this one church. They were giving away bicycles, everything, just to bring people in. It better be the word of God. Can I get amen? It's got to be God's word. And here's the key. Here's the key for us now. How many believe that this is what basically this nation needs to do? Is right up here. If my people, say that with me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from what? Their happy days. Oh, I'm sorry. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. And then I will forgive their sin and then heal their land. Now, notice that God is a God of order. Say that with me. God is a God of order. So look at this. This is the order. It's pray, humble yourself, pray, and then seek my face. When's the last time you got on your knees? I'm talking about your own devotional time. And you prayed. You prayed for your family. You prayed for the nation. You prayed for those around you. You prayed and you sought his face. And then you're saying, God, help me with my own wicked ways. Let me just say this. In the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. We're all equal at the cross. The fivefold ministry is equal at the cross. There's no positions greater than the people of God. We've just been assigned by God. That's all. This is our assignment. The fivefold ministry, I think it's the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the apostle, and the pastor. Those positions are just these little titles that God gives, not to have them hoard over the saints of God. Can I get amen? We are to serve the saints of God. Can I get amen? By pouring out your life. You want God to use you? Pour out your life. And he will use you. Humility, prayer, obedience are God's prerequisites to revival. And I'm excited to see this revival that started in Ashburg and now is what? 17 universities? And it's spreading. It's spreading. And continue to pray that God would pour out in these days that we live in. Can I get amen? Amen. The tragedy of a nation's drift away from God and morality begins with its leaders. Every dark period in the history of the world has begun with wickedness. So this is what we got to pray for. God, it first starts with me. So before I can pray for them, before I can pray for us, I got to pray for me. Lord, get my heart right. Listen, it's so easy to go minister to someone that maybe is going through a turmoil in their life. Maybe someone's walked out. Maybe their child, this and that, whatever the place. I don't know what it could be. But before you go minister, you got to put your heart in check. Can I get amen? Because we could be saying, yeah, well, we could be like one of Job's friends. And what did God say at the end of Job? I am very disgusted with those three guys that came and gave Job false advice. We got to be careful, right, saints? We got to be careful. I'm going to be coming in for a close. I have a whole lot more, but I'm going to be coming in for a close. But I want you to see this. How many believe that you are rich in Christ? Huh? How many believe that if we never received another dollar on this earth, we're still rich in Christ? How many believe that God has prepared a place for us that far exceeds Rancho Santa Fe? Yes. I've seen the $40 million homes. I went on a realtor tour. I've seen the amenities. I've seen the swimming pools that start from the outside. They come into the living room. They have horse stables. They have basketball courts. Movie theaters. They had 80-inch flat screens in the toilet. They got every comfort, every leisure, every pleasure. But guess what? It all pales in comparison to what God has prepared those who love him. And so always remember this. I'm going to go there right now. Look at this. But you are a what? chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called us, you, out of what? Darkness into His marvelous light. And look at this. Who once were not a people. Listen. I go back 34 years. Some of you go back a little further. And then some of you just recently got saved. But up until salvation came, we were not a people of His. But now, look at this. It says it clearly. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise God. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Come on. Everyone stand. Do we have a song of praise? Do we have a song of praise up here? I was told when we have the healing rooms and the food, kind of like, don't become a Pentecostal preacher that day and go on and on. But I'm going to pray. How many have needs right now in your life? How many are looking for God to do something mighty? Okay, just one person. Wow, everyone else is doing real good. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Be true to yourself. How many have needs right now? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands to heaven right now. Lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I want you guys to reach into your heart of hearts. Whatever that sometimes enters in through thought or even at the recess of our heart, the enemy, do you know, likes to go there too. Go into your heart of hearts and say, God, I lay these things that I battle with at your feet. And I come home humbly but boldly to your presence, to the throne room of grace. Ask God right now, hallelujah, to do something radical in your life. Ask God to change those things first that start with me, so that when my hands are pure, my heart is pure before you, God. Now I can be a blessing to someone else. I can minister with a free heart. I can let people know that Jesus is soon to come. But it starts with us. We need, hallelujah, to come boldly before God.
Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Let it
are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hallelujah. How many of you want our land to be healed? How many want to see our families restored? It's time now to seek His face. It's time now to turn to the Lord God. Because He's doing something mightily and He's doing it quickly. We're watching these things in real time right now as I speak. He's pouring out His Spirit in the last days that we live in. So I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. My sons and daughters shall see visions and dreams and prophesy. We're seeing it, we're seeing it, we're seeing it. And it's this one child right now who just dropped to her knees. We need to be like a child. Can I get amen? We must be like that child. That we should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord. Speak the truth in love. And watch God do the miraculous. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Listen, I need you guys to pray with me right now. For those who are on Facebook and YouTube, you may be watching. It may be the first time you logged in or whatever the case may be. But it was not an accident or a coincidence that you logged in. It was the providence of God that drew you to hear this message, because God wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace saints of God that are here right now to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I repent of my sins. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you, to follow you, and to praise you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everyone give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is He worthy? He's worthy. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.